Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. We're glad for everybody that's here. We're going to try to do our best to say something that'll help somebody. Genesis 37, verse 23.
Amen.
The 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, in verse 23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And now listen to the callousness and the hardness and the meanness of his brethren. And they sat down to eat bread. They lifted up their eyes and looked. Behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew nigh and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Hallelujah. Would you stretch your hands this way? Ask God to help us here. Amen. This morning, Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. Pray, Lord, that you'd touch us, O God. That you'd help us, O Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would move in this place. Open every, Lord, person's heart to receive and their ears to hear. Help us, Lord, not to just spread the table and put out the dishes. Lord, let us put the divine bread of heaven upon the plate, the meat of your word. I pray that you touch every heart, Lord, every young convert, every sinner that's in the building, Lord, that you'd speak to us in a mighty way. And we give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Glory to God. I want to preach on if the Lord would help us here today. I'd like to preach about tears may be streaming, but I refuse to quit dreaming. Amen. Hallelujah. Tears may be streaming, but I refuse to quit dreaming. Hallelujah. Do I have any dreamers here? Amen. Today. Where there is no vision, people perish. Amen. We all need to be dreaming. Amen. That we can be better than what we are. That we can do more than what we're doing. But to me, amen, this story here of Joseph, I can't read it without my heart being touched. And I've been reading it now for some 20 years. And to me, this is one of the most heart-wrenching scenes, amen, in the Bible next to Calvary. And there's a lot of parallels to this scene, and I'm going to try to preach them in the weeks to come, maybe, even if I still feel inspiration as I was studying. But there's a great comparison between Calvary and Christ and Joseph. But we have this story of a dreamer. Amen. This lad that no doubt was destined to greatness, Joseph. When we look at his life, we realize that he had a life that was without stain. Joseph was a lad that was destined for greatness. He seemed to be a stalwart saint of Hebrew history. Not only a stalwart saint, but Joseph was a steady servant. It didn't matter whether he was in the pit, amen, the prison, or the palace. This young man, wherever he was going to be a bond servant and not let circumstances cripple him or cause him not to live. You know the story. Amen. Joseph was the well-beloved of his father. He was given a coat of many colors. The Bible said and makes it clear that Joseph was the favorite of his father. Amen. This coat that Jacob gave to him, it spoke of rank. It was to amen, Joseph and to his brethren, it was the badge of the birthright. No doubt out of all of Jacob's sons, it was this boy, the second to the last, by the name of Joseph, that was a man of character. He was a man of virtue. And the story, as it goes on, begins to reveal what kind of young man this boy Joseph was. This coat spoke of rank, and by getting this coat, Joseph was receiving from his father preeminence. Jacob was establishing the fact that he was to be the heir of the birthright. Are you hearing me? I've always thought, until I got to studying yesterday, amen, and I feel like that maybe I had been wrong through the years, because I've always felt like that Jacob was showing partiality to Joseph. And you know, favoritism and partiality in a home can wreck a child, amen, all of his days. Are you hearing me? So I always felt like that Jacob was showing favoritism. But I want you to know, I don't really feel like that Jacob was. For you see, Reuben was the firstborn. And when he laid with his father's concubine, he forfeited his right to the birthright. And so on, Simeon and Levi and the rest of them. And you can tell by what they did to Joseph here, that they were not righteous, God-fearing boys. Amen. Come on now. But I want you to know, with Jacob, like with God, amen, seniority did not matter. He wasn't looking at his sons to see who was the oldest. He was looking to his sons to see those that lived the most sanctified, amen, God-fearing, righteous lives. And I'm telling you, that's what God in heaven, amen, is looking for today. It's not really how long you've been in this thing. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your motive. Come on here, help me preach. Amen. But that term that we read, if I can find it back here, amen, that term on the in the scripture. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Come on here. Now when we think of that, he loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was a son of his old age. It's easy to read into that today, saints, that it was partiality upon this patriarch Jacob's part. But I want to tell you, this phrase, when you begin to look at it, it referred to a lot more than just to the numerical age of a parent. It was, amen, if it was old age, amen, that brought that coat of many colors to Joseph, then the coat should have been given to Benjamin, for Benjamin was the youngest. That means that Jacob was older when Benjamin was born than when Joseph was born. Hello. Does that make any sense to you? Hallelujah. That one that was born the latest, amen, would have been the son of his father's old age. So we realize that this son of his old age was more than just the age of Jacob. But that phrase is referring, amen, to a wise son, one with wisdom beyond his years. Amen. So to speak, Joseph had an old head on young shoulders. Are you hearing me? He was a brilliant boy. He was a gifted boy. He was a God-fearing boy. And he loved the God of Abraham and Jacob, amen, and Isaac, more than anything else in this world. Come on here. I want to preach if the Lord would help me. Hallelujah. Amen. So we find that when Jacob gave that coat of many colors to his boy, there was something special about him. The watchword over Joseph's life was destiny. And if you would have looked at him as a 17-year-old boy, you would have thought he would have had success. There would have never been any trouble. But I'm telling you, sometimes ability and sometimes talent and sometimes the things that God blesses people with, amen, it's not always an easy road. For many times it stirs up in the brethren. It stirs up envy. It stirs up jealousy. It stirs up competition. Come on here. And I want to tell you, those brothers, they hated Joseph. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. It wasn't because he was mean or he was self-righteous. It was because he lived right. And the favor of God was upon him. Amen. Glory to God. It meant a wise son. So we understand that destiny was evident. But we must realize in the story of Joseph that injury and insult were inevitable. Are you hearing me? The loved of his father. Hallelujah. Just like Christ. Joseph, we find. Brother Shane, now, amen, he's had these dreams. You know the story about the dreams, about the lean and, amen, the fat and, amen, the stars and everything bowing down to Joseph. And I don't know if Joseph used entire wisdom, but amen, according to what I studied yesterday, he was a wise man. He was a wise boy. No doubt he didn't mean any harm about it. He might have been unaware of the jealousy and the envy that his brothers had toward him. But you know the story, he tells the dreams. Amen. But instead of heavenly honor, amen, many times your vision, many times your dream, many times that thing that God has birthed in your heart, many times it doesn't bring, it may be an honor from heaven upon you, but many times, Brother Tony Nolan, it brings the amen, it doesn't bring earthly honor. Usually it brings earthly harassment. And that's what was happening to this young boy. And I want to tell you, you that have just prayed, you young converts, you know that feeling that I'm preaching about. Amen. Like Joseph, you've just been given a newfound joy. You've been given something the world couldn't give. Amen. Booze didn't give it. Amen. Drugs didn't give it. The parties didn't give it. The things of this world did not satisfy. But you found a newfound joy. Amen. You found what it was really like to be saved. You found out what it was really like. Amen. For the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all sin. Amen. But when you come to those that you loved and you said, I got saved, you were quickly ridiculed. They knocked the wind out of your sails. Amen. What? You got saved down there. You got saved in that holy roller church. Amen. Come on here. Amen. They begin to ridicule you. Amen. Instead of giving you honor, you begin to be harassed. Not that they're mean. Amen. Really are evil maybe, or wicked in themselves. Amen. But you've been born of God. And I want to tell you, when you've been born of God, the devil doesn't like it. And he'll do whatever he can to knock the wind out of your sail, knock the props from under your feet. But I want to tell you something. And when them attacks come from those that are dear to us and those that are near to us, they're the most distressing and the most dangerous. But what you've got to make up in your mind, ladies, all you that have been praying, hallelujah, amen, tears may be streaming, my friends may be leaving, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I found something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm not about to quit dreaming. I'm not about to quit pressing. I'm not about to quit running and striving. Woo! And the young convert, amen, is met. Amen. Or the young dreamer, rather, is met with mockery. Huh? His dad said, I need you to take something down to your brothers and you need to check on them. And you know what he said? Hallelujah. He said this. Amen. Here I am. And immediately, hallelujah, he went. Glory to God. Listen to me preach. Amen. Not time to be an artist. Hallelujah. But I won't tell you right now. Amen. He said, behold the dreamer. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Amen. And that's what they said. Joseph come in innocently. He didn't know that his brothers had malice against him. Amen. But they mocked the proclaimer of divine truth. And I want to tell you, sometimes that's the way it is. Not everyone speaks well of you. When I come to this city, amen, with a divine truth to build a holiness independent Pentecostal church. Amen. I'll tell you, I wasn't met. Amen. With everybody saying you're going to be all right. Some mocked me. Said you'll only be here two months or 3 months. The bank was afraid to loan us money. But I want to tell you, friend, it didn't stop me. Amen. Yes, there were times tears streamed down my face. And I said, Lord, you sent me. Why won't they give me a loan? But I want to tell you, brother, though tears have streamed down my face at times on this journey toward heaven, I want you to know right now, hallelujah, hallelujah, that I have not quit, that I have not stopped. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm believing God today. Oh, hallelujah. You see, they mocked Joseph. They mocked the precepts of divine truth. That's what people will do. They'll mock the way we live. They'll mock the way we talk. They'll mock the way we'll walk. They'll mock prayer. They'll mock the Bible. We live in a generation that said the Bible's a bunch of myths. But I want to tell you, he that feels the Bible is a myth is myth-taken. This is not a myth. Amen. This is the infallible, inerrant, forever settled, hallelujah, Word of God. And hell can't stop it. And the devil can't hinder it. And the enemy can't strap it down or put it in a box. If God said it, he'll do it. Hallelujah. Don't lose your dream. You may be crying on the inside. Tears may be streaming. But don't quit. Don't stop dreaming. Dream again. Believe God again. Lift your hands to him again. Woo! But Brother Tony, thirdly, they mocked the power of divine truth. They said, we will see what becomes of his dreams. They took it in their hands to strip him of his destiny. They took it in his hands to destroy their dream. When we look a little closer to what becomes of his dreams, first we find a pit. Then we find a prison. But at the end of the story, we find him sitting in the palace. Oh, glory to God. And there may be some that are cast down this morning, but you don't have to be destroyed. You may be perplexed, but I want to tell you, God has not forsaken you. Amen. You may feel walled in. You may feel hemmed in. You may feel the devil's got your back against the wall. And there are times we've all felt like that. Amen. There's times your preacher has felt like that in recent days. But I want to tell you, one man said, the devil can wall us in, but he can't roof us over. Are you hearing me? He may hem us in, but brother, he can't put a roof on it. So that what that's telling me is sometimes when I'm hemmed in, sometimes when I'm boxed in, sometimes when tears are streaming, amen, I can look up, amen, and sooner or later, God's going to break me out of the top. I want to tell you, amen, what lets you know the presence of God is in your life, C.H. Spurgeon said, was the devil's growl. Hallelujah. When the devils are growling and the devils are roaring, hallelujah, I want to tell you something. That means God is working. You may be in the pit. You may be in the prison. But don't stop dreaming. Don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop walking. Oh, glory to God. Amen. You know the feeling. When you're there. Amen. When you're there. In our text. We see Joseph being stripped of his coat. Can you imagine that? Him walking up to his brothers and saying, hey Judah. Hey Reuben. They were his older brothers. No doubt he admired them. And they grabbed him. Began to shove him. Got around in a circle. Began to shove him. Said, yo, dreamer. They began to shove him and rough him up a little bit. And one of them grabbed that garment that he had and they took it off of him. Said, oh yeah, now, dreamer. Here's your rank. Here's your robe. Here's your vesture. What are you going to do now, Joseph? They begin to push him around. Oh, come on, somebody in this place needs to help me preach. I believe you're listening to me. Amen, but hear me. Joseph is stripped of his coat. He's treated mean. They take him and they shove him in that pit. And then they sit down to eat lunch. Joseph's had the dreams. Now he's in the pit, Brandy. He can hear them. They're probably talking about him, trying to justify themselves. They're eating lunch. He's down there in a pit. Oh, come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Have you ever felt that way? Amen. You're in a crunch and it seems like all your brothers are eating lunch. They don't care. They ain't hearing you. You're crying, but nobody's listening. Oh, come on now. Genesis 42 said, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Are you hearing me? We were guilty. Do you remember? They were saying later. Amen. We saw the anguish of his soul. We seen the fear in his eyes. We felt the tremble of his body. Amen. And when he besought us, when he was crying, amen, get me out of here, somebody. Would somebody throw me a rope? Would somebody have mercy on me? Amen. We kept eating our lunch. Amen. We kept being hard and, amen, callous toward him. Amen. Come on now. But brother, I can't help but thinking that little boy down in the cistern of 17 years old, tears are streaming down his face. Amen. I believe I can hear old Joseph say, amen, I'm still dreaming. I know I'm in a cistern, but I know there's a top to this pit, and sooner or later I'm coming out. Amen. Later on there'll be a doorway. Amen. In the prison I'm coming out. Amen. Nobody is going to rob me of what God's birthed in me. Nobody is going to take the destiny of what God has done in my life. Amen. We've all been there. When no one seems to care. That's right. We've all been stripped. Huh? Spoke of that coat spoke of rank. Because it gave rank to his righteous life. He was given that vesture because of his virtue. But now he's stripped. He's in a pit. They're mocking him, saying, "We'll see what becomes of his dreams." Huh? Are we bowing down to you now, Joseph? You're in the pit, Baba! God didn't give you that dream, boy! You think too much of yourself, Joseph! I can see Joseph trembling, backed up in the corner, tears streaming down his face, and you can hear him mumble under his breath, "God, I know you spoke to me. I don't understand it. I don't know why you're weaving it like you're weaving it." Whew. But I believe that Joseph is the Old Testament illustration to what Paul wrote in Romans 8:28 when he said, "This I know, all things are working together for my good." Oh, hallelujah. That's the climax of faith. Amen. When everything's going against you. Amen, Brother Junior, when the trucks broke down. Amen, and you can't get to the job. Amen, the climax of faith is to say, "I don't understand it. Amen, Lord, I'm serving you. Amen, I'm supporting my church. I'm paying my tithes, but all things are working together for my good." Can you say it? Amen, I said, can you say it? Amen, if you've got faith, you can say it. Amen. If you're not dominated by fear, you can say it. And I'm telling you, I've come through some storms. I've come through some difficulties. But Tracy Boyd didn't know what he was going to do. But I hang on. Amen. And he wove it into the pattern. And he took bad circumstances. He took the crushing of my dreams. And he made them over again. I'm talking about, I know what I'm preaching about. Amen. I've had tears stream down my face. But I've refused to quit dreaming. That's why we're trying to put a church up over there. Oh, glory to God. Oh, yeah, you've been stripped. You've been shoved down in a pit. The devil's trying to shove you and push you around, take your milk money, strip you of your testimony, rob you of your salvation. Someone this morning, you've been taken from the Canaan of comfort. You're dwelling in the Egypt of captivity. You stand this morning or sit this morning perplexed because your world's spinning. Oh, hallelujah. You've shed tears. You pled with God. God doesn't seem to be answering you. But for 13 years, this man in my Bible, who lived a holier life than any of us have lived, suffered in slavery. He was in prison. But the Bible said everywhere he went, God worked with him. Well, y'all are quiet this morning. Hallelujah. But you see, the Ishmaelites are coming. They've mocked him. They've got him in a pit. And now Judah looks and he says, "Hey, I've got an idea. Let's sell our brother. Then his blood won't be on our hands. We'll take this coat of his rank. We'll take this badge of his birthright. We'll dip it in a wild animal's blood and we'll tell Father that a wild beast devoured him. We found it on the way. We'll be covered. Because once we sell him into Egypt, he been a bond slave to those Ishmaelites. He'll never be back. And we'll be covered. Let's see what happens to his dreams. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. And the Bible said that's what they did. A company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. They pull their brother out of the pit. He's stripped. Maybe they've roughed him up. Maybe he's bruised. Maybe he's beaten a little bit. And they sell him to these Ishmaelites who are carrying these spiceries and this balm and this myrrh. And they're coming from Gilead. What I'm trying to tell you, hey man, no matter how brokenhearted you are, no matter how the devil has stripped you of your dreams, hey man, these odors had to have attached themselves to Joseph. Though he was stripped of his robe, though he was stripped of his vesture, hey man, brother, they come carrying myrrh, and they had balm, hey man, coming from Gilead. I want to tell you, after the devil stripped you, amen, after you've been in the trial, I want to tell you, for your journey, amen, through your affliction and through your test, there's going to be balm from Gilead. There'll be the comfort of the Holy Ghost. He'll stay with you. He'll be with you. Is there not a balm in Gilead? Oh yeah, there's still balm in Gilead. You may be stripped. Woo! God won't let the devil strip you without pouring a little, rubbing a little balm. Huh? Give you enough just grace to, amen, make it through the trial. Oh yeah. God could have stopped him from going to Egypt. That wasn't God's plan. You see, God works from a throne up on high. He looks from the ending to the beginning. And from the beginning to the ending. And we can't see it because of the truth. You think Joseph tried to figure out why in the world? Oh, glory to God. But I'm telling you, right in the middle of the stripping of the enemy, when he's stripping you of your garment, hallelujah, there's balm. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. I won't tell you, when the devil takes your robe of many colors, hallelujah, tears it up and dips it in blood and try to tell you you're over and your testimony's gone, I'm telling you, God will spice you up. Hallelujah, are you hearing me? He'll spice you up. Come on now. And here comes a boy into Egypt. Yes, he's been stripped. Yes, he's been pulled away from his father. Yes, he's been pulled away from his home. But I want to tell you, when he come into Egypt, they knew there was something different about him. He smelled like myrrh. Amen. He smelled different. There was a sweet smell and savor. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, that's how I want to be in the midst of my trial. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to be mean. But I want him to smell a sweet smell and savor, that when the bills are due, hallelujah, and the debt, or the debts are high, and the bills are due, and the funds are low, amen, that I can still say, amen, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and it takes away. Somebody shout amen. I've got to hurry. I'm preaching too long. Woo! But you see, amen, you that are there, he stripped you, he shoved you into a pit, he's pulled you out, amen, you feel like he sold you into slavery. Maybe someone you love's done that. Maybe your brothers have done that. Maybe the sisters have done that, you feel. Oh, come on now. I want to tell you something. We look at our afflictions and we look at our trials wrong. God's not sending us through trials and afflictions to cause us pain. Amen. But he's working something out for our good. Come on now. You see, if you're a Joseph, you got to come to the grips with the fact that diamonds do not sparkle until they've been cut and until they've been polished. Then they sparkle. Amen. Pearls do not shine until they've been to the peeler. Amen. And then he's peeled back. Amen. The dross or whatever. Amen. And then, hallelujah, they shine. Gold doesn't shine until it's been through the furnace, till it's been through the refiner. Amen. I will tell you, stars do not shine their brightest. Amen. Until it is the darkest. Amen. Roses do not release their beautiful fragrance until they've been broken, until they've been bruised, until they've been crushed. And I want to tell you, sometimes when we're shoved in the pit, amen, and we're backed in a corner, and we feel like we're being broken, and we feel like, though God don't care, He's breaking us, amen, to bring out something better. Hallelujah. Hang on. He's got you in the palm of His hand. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I know we don't like adverse circumstances. We don't like affliction, but we got to get to the place that we understand that our afflictions and our adverse circumstances are not, they're there to help us and not hurt us. Amen. Bless us and not burden us. Develop us and not destroy us. Refine us and not ruin us. Mold us but not shatter us. But listen to me. Our problem is, I'm almost through, is when we get in the midst of a trouble and we get in the midst of a trial, we spend more energy fighting against that higher power called providence than yielding ourselves to it and say, Lord, I'm going to submit to the rod of your correction, because whom you love, you chasten. Now this is some strong meat for men and women this morning. And I've not always passed this test. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Little wife over there of 16 years can tell you, amen, that is the truth. Joseph didn't lose time or strength by struggling against that higher might than his own. He bowed to the inevitable. Nothing he could do. They stripped him, they shoved him, they sold him. And now, he just bowed to the inevitable. And he adjusted to his circumstance. Oh, glory to God. If someone would do that, you'd have a lot more peace in your life. If you'd quit trying to fight, and like that, like a bird trying to hit against the bars of your cage. Are you hearing me? Oh, hallelujah, like a horse. Amen, trying to get away from that bridle. Amen, come on now. And say, Lord, I'm just going to allow myself to submit to whatever you're doing in my life. He realized fretting over that from which we have been removed or which has been taken away from us will not make things better, but it will prevent us from improving on those things which remain. Hallelujah. He could have spent the rest of his life, Sister Shea Boyd, worrying, amen, about what had been taken from him. The robe, the mistreatment of his brothers, being taken from the daddy that he loved. But he realized, amen, if I live in the past, I'll never amount to nothing. I'll stay in the pit. I'll stay in the prison. But if I can get to the place that I forget the things that I've lost, amen, and say from here on, I'm going to improve on the things that I have. And when Joseph did that, everywhere he went, he was blessed. He was blessed in the prison. He was blessed everywhere. In Potiphar's house. Are you hearing me? The hand of God was with him. I want to tell you, amen, quit whining over what the devil stole from you, and let God from this point on, amen, mold and make and shape something in your heart.
Hallelujah.
You can fight against God all you want to. You're wasting your time. Point your finger at Him, tell Him whatever you want to do. But you're wasting your time.
We can't dictate to God, folks. Are y'all hearing me? Oh, there's been times we land in prayer. I prayed frustrated. I had to ask forgiveness. I thought God ought to have been doing things different
than what He was doing. Oh, come on, y'all with me?
But I've learned the only time that I find real peace is when I submit to whatever He's putting on my shoulders.
Oh.
And that's why I'm trying to help someone this morning. Quit fighting against it. I know it's heavy. I know it hurts. I know you don't understand. And I know tears have been streaming. Please, as your preacher, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, don't quit dreaming. Don't quit striving. Don't turn back. Woo! Oh, Joseph said, I'm not going to dodge it. I'm not going to evade it. I'm not going to excuse it. But I'll squeeze out of yesterday a lesson for tomorrow. Amen. Come on, and I'm going to throw away the rind. And I'm going to be a servant. Lord, You gave me the dream that the stars would bow to me. You gave me a dream that I would rule. But here I am. I'm in prison. It's not turning out like You told me. God, do You hear me? Do You hear me, Lord? I thought You told me something else, but it's not working out that way. But Lord, I want You to know, if I never rule, if I'm never in absolute authority, I'm going to serve You the rest of my days. I'm going to be the best hand that I can be. I'll work in this prison until I draw my last breath. Because Lord, You've been too good to me for me to turn back now. Woo!
Oh, you've got to get there, friend. You've got to get to that place like Joseph where worries won't weaken you. Situations don't shatter. Things don't destroy you. Don't let the devil take your mistakes and mutilate you with them. You got to get to that place where there's no chip on your shoulder. And when you're retaliated against, you won't retaliate back. When you're mistreated, you'll take it. But let me tell you, till we get to heaven, friends, my wife's coming. Satan may trouble you, but you don't have to let him deter you. You don't have to let him rob you of your dream. I know some of you feel like you've been shoved in a pit. You feel like you've been hemmed in. You've been walled in. And let me tell you, there are walls there. And there are hindrances there. And there are restrictions there. Amen. But there's not top. Amen. Amen of the box. Hallelujah. And Joseph remembered that. Woo, hallelujah. They remember, he remembered those words of them Beridian brothers. He remembered their words, we will see what becomes of his dreams.
He had seen man tried to, their best to prevent it with their mocking mouths and the might of their muscle. Hallelujah. But with faith that was buoyant, every time he went down in shame, he bounced back up. Whew. Come on now. We throw him in the pit, but he bounced back up. We sold him into slavery, but he bounced back up in Potiphar's house. Amen. Potiphar's wife lied on him, but he bounced back up in the prison. Hallelujah. No matter the troubles that tried to weigh him down, he kept bouncing back up. Bouncing back up. And then after the butler and the baker, amen, had come and the butler forgot him, there came a day. Hallelujah. Amen. When God remembered Joseph, and Pharaoh had a dream, and nobody could interpret it. He's been through the pit. He's been through the prison. But now God's getting ready to bring him to the palace. I want to tell you, that's where somebody is this morning. You've been in the pit. You've been in the prison. But God's getting ready to bring you to the banqueting house.
Plan of Joseph, plan of his life, was made in heaven, just like yours. Can I finish this? I know I preach long. I'm just preaching my heart, I guess. That's why I'm preaching so long. Ephesians 1 said, according to the purpose of him who worketh in all things after the counsel of his own will. That's what I want God to do. I want Him to work all things in my life after the counsel of His own will. And sometimes I've been stripped. I've been humiliated. I've been shoved around. And there's things in my life that I don't understand. This month I was born. I was born out of wedlock. My biological father left my mother, was holding the baby. Took off, never paid a day of child support in his life. I don't know why that was counseled in heaven for a preacher like me. Be born, but I believe that before I was born, God, He knew me. And when my mom had tears streaming down her face, she's a good woman. She's a good woman. Let me tell you something, young folks, the devil can get in anything. Huh? It'd just take one time, y'all getting your passions heated up. You could bear a scar the rest of your life. I ain't saying God can't forgive that. I'm saying some things I don't understand, Brother Nolan. Why I was when I went, like, you know, God willed it. I was born. He left. Some 10 months later, a man by the name of Richard Boyd come into my life. When I was in little, I know you've heard the story and you're bored with it. But can I preach to you? You all haven't heard it, have you? Amen. And when I was a little baby, he was there when I started crawling. When I was a toddler and come across in my diapers, he was there. He's the only man I ever called dad. He is my dad. Anybody can be a father. Hallelujah. But it takes someone to be special to be a dad. And I've asked my dad, Lord, Dad, if I could do it at your funeral, I'd feel honored if you'd let me say something. Because I don't believe there's a man in the world, amen, like Richard Boyd. Woo! I'm sorry, I'm all... Todd, amen, I don't always just get to, but I broke up this morning. I don't know why, but God did. I don't know why, but they got saved when I was 7 years old. They took me to a church, and they taught me about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God called me to preach when I was about 20. Hallelujah. Woo!
Amen. When my mom was crying and tears were streaming down her face and she didn't understand, she backslid. And amen, the reproach that was brought on her life, amen, as she was streaming, tears were streaming, she didn't understand. Hallelujah. But I won't tell you, she started dreaming again. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on here. And God took that bad situation and He turned it around. Come on here. Oh, glory to God. Sister Rhonda, I don't understand. Why? In 1993, when I found out all this that I just told you, the devil stripped me and shoved me in a pit. I went through things I'm not going to mention. He works the counsel of His will out as He wants. He took a bad situation and He turned it around. And now when I look back, Brother Tony, I didn't understand the pit. I didn't understand the prison. I didn't understand the robe being stripped from me. I didn't understand the humiliation. But now I stand 10 years later and I look back. And if some of those things would have never happened, this preacher wouldn't be filling this pulpit this morning. And some of you wouldn't be saved. God worked it out, brother, for we would become friends. Brother Tony, God worked it out where I'd be here for you. Every one of you. Would you lift your hands? Say, thank you, Jesus. I'm through. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost here. What I'm trying to tell you is I know what it is to be broken. I know what it is to have tears stream down my face and not think it's ever going to work again.
God, thank you.
But I know what it is to feel inspiration and God said, dream again. Believe again. Trust again. I'm telling you, God's able to help you dream again.
Yes.
I wonder, is there someone this morning? You feel stripped. You feel shoved in a pit. You feel like the walls are closing in. You know, preachers preach to you this morning. Would you come? Is there someone? We can't help you carry your load if you hide it. Act like you're strong. Nobody can help you when you're that way. You gotta show sometimes you need help. Here comes folks from all over the building. Amen. You that are not coming, please try to help pray with these that have knelt down here. How about it? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Come on. You broken? Are you hurting? Jesus has got balm from Gilead for the journey. He is the balm of Gilead. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't know the Lord, why don't you come on? If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ,
so
would you come?
So many times I've questioned
Bring your broken dreams.
Circumstances.
Bring your broken hearts.
Things I could not
understand. Bring your broken dreams. Bring your broken hearts. Bring your broken spirits. Bring
Many
them to
times
Jesus.
Of trials.
Jesus is on the throne.
My vision.
Oh, Joseph was on the throne, but this
my
morning I tell you, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He's got torn. He's got healing.
Then I am reminded. Never been forsaken.
A lot of people praying for their own needs.
Never had to stand the test.
They ain't got a burden for you. Everyone's praying. Everyone knows what the preacher's talking about. We're in the trying hour. The devil knows he has a short time. He's working. He's trying to break. He's trying to crush our dreams. Believe God again.
He never promised.